Praise God. I love His Word. I love it. Changed my life. You say, how in the world can someone with a laundry list like you be called to the ministry? One word, two words, the Word. The Word changed everything. The Word changed everything. Praise God. If you knew me from my past, there would be no way that you would think that I could drive by the casino twice on a Saturday, twice on a Tuesday, when I come out here in the week, drive by there and not stop and not spend my money till it was gone, because that's how bad it was for me. You'd never think I'd be able to, you know, over in Wegmans in Lakewood, there's the paper towels are right down, and the toilet paper are down from the alcohol section. So I walk by it, you see it. Never would have been able to walk by that and see that without walking out of some. And I've been free for years. Amen. The Word. Glory to God. The Word. Praise God. It's real, man. That's why some people do not like me, because they remember too well the old Mike. But praise God. Well, we're going to be blessed tonight. Amen. We'll start in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. We're going to build upon last week. So I'll do a brief review and then we're going to go forward. Tuesday night's message was kind of an offshoot from last Saturday, but this is kind of would be part two to what we talked about. So we'll get you caught up to speed and remind you. And in that reminding, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the Word, so you'll just get more faith anyways. But let's pray and believe God for the right utterance, for what needs to be said and done here tonight. Father, we're here because of You. Lord, You are the vine. We're just a branch. Apart from You, we can do nothing, so we look to You for help tonight. Father, we're not looking to a man. Father, I don't have anything to offer people apart from You. With You, we get something, but Father, myself, I know, and I've made mention tonight of who I was before You, so we're not looking to a man. We're not looking to the name on the church sign out front. We're looking to Jesus. He's the life changer. He's the way maker. He's our helper, and so, Lord, help us tonight. As I open my mouth, fill it with words from heaven. May I speak as the oracles of God, and not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and power. And Father, I thank You words from heaven will flow from my lips, and it'll hit bullseyes in people's hearts. Father, they'll come out tonight, and they'll hear something tonight, and it'll be like the message was prepared specifically for them. And they'll think to themselves, my Lord, how did He know I needed to hear that? But the truth is, Father, You knew, I didn't. And Father, that's part of the supernatural experience that we have with You coming to church. And Father, it'll be a sign unto them that You love them, that You care about them, and that You have a better tomorrow for them. And Father, also, it'll be a sign unto them that Family Church Allegheny is a safe place where they can come and hear the Word of God. So Father, we give You the praise tonight. We give You the glory for the help that we're about to receive. Thank You for impartation, for revelation, and for the anointing here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved. So someone says, how did you get saved? The answer is God's grace. We didn't. It was His idea. What's His grace? His power. His mercy. Now think about what that grace and that power did. The Bible said you were delivered from the power of darkness. The devil has some power. And the Bible says that delivered you from that. That grace delivered you from that. So it's a good flow. Praise God. He says, by that grace are you saved. But the verse doesn't end there. It says that grace had to flow through something. And that grace flowed through faith. Right? And that's how it works for every promise of God. By grace are you going to be healed. What's that mean? You can't make your healing come, but God can. His grace, the healing's in that grace. The prosperity's in that grace. The provision is in that grace. The answers, the turnaround, the deliverance, the help, the protection is in the grace. But just like being saved, praise God, notice this. The worst position you were ever in life, the worst position you were ever in life was the second before you accepted Jesus. And all the seconds before you accepted Jesus. Why? You were the devil's. You were in the custody of Satan. He was your spiritual daddy. He had you in his grips. He had you. You had a one-way ticket punched going to hell. That was the worst condition you've ever been in life. And notice that God loves His creation. God loves the world, the Bible says, so much. He looks upon the world with love, with mercy, with kindness. But God looked at you in your worst condition. Me was January 10th, 2002. All the time before then, I was the devil's. I was being bound by someone that steals, kills and destroys, and God knew it, God saw it, and God loved me, and God did not deliver me from the power of Satan, from the power of darkness, from the grip of the enemy, until I gave Him a pipeline of faith, for by grace are you saved. Through that salvation or that help or that mercy or that power, that healing, that deliverance, that prosperity, that provision, that supply, that protection, that revelation, that wisdom, those answers, they flow through faith. Amen. Hallelujah. In the worst position ever, he couldn't do it without faith. Amen. We saw... Go to Matthew 15, 21. Praise God. We saw in Matthew 15 in verse 21. Remember here? I don't have time to read this whole story here. But this was the woman that in Matthew 15. Let me get there. It says, Jesus went then and departed in the coast of Tyre and Sidon, and behold, a woman of Canaan, not a Jew, a Syrophoenician, Luke's gospel said about her, came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed of a devil. Now, we pointed out a couple things. That Jesus is love. Jesus loved children. Jesus, if she's grievously vexed of the devil, Jesus isn't okay with that. Why? What does the word say about Jesus? He came to destroy the power of darkness. He came to undo what the devil did. The devil steals, kills, and destroys, but Jesus said, but I've come to give you life. He separates himself from the thief. So we know Jesus is not okay with the devil tormenting this young girl. But if you read through the story, we see that four times she came to him in desperation. A terrible, dire situation. Imagine parents. You know when your children even get a fever how much it bothers you. Bothers me. Even the minorest things bother me with my children. She's grievously vexed of the devil. We know Jesus is not okay with that. And we know that she's in a bad place. Many of us can be in bad places where the natural says one thing. Where the natural is coming against us. Where we look like we're backed into a corner. When we can't figure out the answer. When it looks like a mountain range. Not just a mountain, but a mountain range is blocking us from our victory. Amen. And she was in that place. And the Bible says four times she came to Jesus. And she was desperate. She cried out to him. She cried out to the disciples. And Jesus didn't respond to her four times. He either ignored her or gave her an answer that seemingly was not what she wanted to hear. But then we see Jesus in verse 28. Then Jesus answered and said, now the then, before then, he's already ignored her four times. What got him to change was her response. In the previous verses, she went from a place of desperation. I'll tell you what, I hear Christians all the time talking to God in desperation. I hear it. I have to watch myself at times, you know. I've grown, but you have to watch yourself at times because things hit us. And it's a shock to our flesh and our mind. But we got to get out of the flesh and mind real quick and get into the spirit. Because why? The grace only flows through faith. The grace doesn't flow through doubt and unbelief. She came to him worried, anxious, fearful, fretting, desperate, hopeless, discouraged. Faith does not flow through that. But when she got in faith, when he said, I don't give the bread to the dogs, I give it to the children. She said, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall. All of a sudden, she stepped over into faith. She stopped a whining and a crying and a complaining and a moaning and a groaning. And she flipped the switch of faith on. And God is required to flow through faith. Remember what Jesus said in Mark chapter 6? He had just come from raising Jairus' daughter from the dead, just come from healing the woman with the issue of blood, just come from setting the Gadarene man free from the devil. And he gets to Mark chapter 6, and the Bible said he couldn't do no mighty work there. He represents the flow, the grace, could do no mighty work there, the Bible says, and he marveled at the people's unbelief. Mark 9:23 says, if you can believe it, then it's possible. Which you can take it the other way. If you can't be in faith, don't expect it to be possible. Why? God only flows through faith. We see it with this woman. If there's any place in the Bible that Jesus would have said, I don't care if she's in faith or not, I just want to do it for her because it's so desperate, it would have been here. But even in her desperation, if she would have walked away, after Jesus didn't answer her and she walks away, well, I guess I don't get help. She'd have gone home to the same daughter, grievously vexed of a devil. It was when she stood up that Jesus took notice and said, okay, I can flow through that. Amen. And we made a statement. This is why it's so vital for you to be in faith over every area of your life. It doesn't matter how desperate your situation is. It's not moving him. He's touched by it. He's touched by it. The Bible says he's touched with our infirmities and our weaknesses and things we go through. He's touched by it. It doesn't matter how desperate you are. It doesn't matter how long you've been in a situation. It doesn't matter. Building up a resume of years of suffering doesn't get you into the blessing. No, 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 no. Faith changes things. The woman with the issue of blood in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34, was desperate for 12 years. And nothing changed for her until she stepped into the place of faith. Then the flow happened. So many people are all the time, Lord, help. Oh, help me, Lord. Oh, help me, Lord. And he wants to. Oh, he wants to bless you. But he can't violate his word. He flows through faith. You didn't get saved until you did something. And that was, the position you're in now wasn't worse than when you were unsaved. That financial position you're in now, it's not worse. That situation with people, it's not worse position you were than before you got saved. Before you got saved, you were on your way to hell. You're on your way to heaven now. No matter how what your money looks like, what your kids look like, what your situation looks like, you're going to heaven. That means if your life was hell on earth for the rest of your life, when you got to heaven, you win. Before you got saved, you were not in that position. You were worse than you were now in the sickness you're dealing with, the things with your kids, the things with people, the things with your money. It's way worse than what you're dealing with now. And in that terrible position, in that terrible condition, God did nothing for you individually until you did something, which was hear about Jesus, get faith, and believe. It'll be the same thing for your healing, be the same thing for your kids, it'll be the same thing for your money, it'll be the same thing for your issues with your people. That's why you have to stay in faith, because the flow gets shut off when you're not. It's the truth. Praise God. And we told you, how do we get into faith? How then do we get into faith? Well, we found out in Romans 10:17. Go to Romans 10:17, it tells us. Praise God. I'll tell you what. Last week, I preached along the same lines Saturday and Sunday morning, and I walked out of here Saturday night different. I said, every single area of my life, I refuse to not be in full faith in every single area of my life. Why? I need God flowing to every single area of my life. Amen. Glory to God. In Romans 10:17, it says, so then faith cometh. What's faith? Faith's the pipeline. Faith is the avenue. Faith is the road that God can flow the grace through. The very thing that you laid for Him to flow His grace through to pull you out of Satan's grip. It's the very thing you'll lay to pull you out of sickness's grip, out of depression's grip, out of fear's grip, out of loneliness, out of poverty. Whatever you need, it's the same thing. How does faith come? By hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. Hearing and hearing. You want faith? Don't pray for it. It's not how it comes. Don't beg for it. Ask pastor to lay hands on you for faith. That's not how it comes. It comes by hearing and hearing. Well, we don't need to turn there. Leave this verse up. But if you go to Joshua 1:8, it says this. This book of the law, the word of God, shall depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Day and night. That means constant. What's that mean? Hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Well, what happens when you hear, 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 and hear? Faith comes. But the Bible says, you shall meditate therein day and night, and you observe and do according to all that's written therein. For then shall your way be made prosperous, and you'll have good success. Why does your way become prosperous and have good success? Because when you meditate day and night, and you hear it over and over, faith builds up. What's faith? Faith is a pipeline into heaven. It's an avenue. It's a roadway. When God flows His grace through, you know what the result is? Prosperity and good success. So you want faith to move mountains in your life? You need to hear and hear and hear, and the result will be faith will build up and rise up on the inside of you. Amen. It will. So I sent out the slick text today. If you look close enough, there was a typo in it. Just understand that, well, that's Pastor Mike being Pastor Mike. Just I looked at it 10,000 times and forgot to put the it in there. So when I sent this out Dayton, I made sure to put the it in there. But just know that's just me. Just bear with me. Keep praying for me. I need it. I am so human. You have no idea how human I am. Praise God. How do we know? How do we know, though, if we're in faith? Because a lot of people can fake their way through the signs of faith. But that does you no good. Does you no good to fake your... You're not trying to impress Pastor Mike. Come in here, speak in all faith, act in all faith, and going home, he ain't believing nothing. Why fake it? Let's get into faith. Faking it doesn't get God to flow. And who are you trying to impress? Me? People? I want it to work for me, praise God. I got things I need moved, mountains moved, and things changed in my life, glory to God. How do we know? Well, I'm here to tell you there's a way to find out. Go to 2 Corinthians 13:5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. I'm going to read it in the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. What's it say? Have a self-examination. Find out, are you in the faith? Prove your own selves. Kim Lai, will you pull that up in the Amplified, please? Examine and test and evaluate your own selves to whether you are holding to your faith. Pastor's faith is not going to bring your healing. Pastor's faith will not turn your situation around. Your faith. And it says, have a self-examination. Am I in the faith? Well, think about this. You can go back to the King James. If you go to get a physical exam done, right? Don't they look at things? They look in your ears. They look in your throat. They take blood pressure. They'll weigh you. There's things that they can examine and clearly see through instruments or with their eyes or with a machine that tell them whether or not things are right or things are off. Well, if the Bible says we are to examine whether we're holding to our faith, there must be some signs or outward things that we can look at to see, are we in faith or not? I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you better get this in your heart. Because if you're hoodwinked by stupid religion, and you think that God's just going to move on your situation just because He's full of mercy and grace, and you think just because you're hurting and you're being wronged and you are, and it's justified for you things to change for you, and you think God's just going to do it because of that, you're flat wrong. I've watched good people suffer and suffer and suffer and suffer, and I've watched them be in doubt and unbelief. And watch them the whole time think, it's just right around the corner. No, it's not. You get in faith, it's right around the corner. Yeah. So let's make sure we're in faith. Yeah. Well, after I got no preaching last night, I said, I can't afford to not be in faith. Yeah. And there's ways to see. You want to find out how to find out if we're in faith? Yeah. Praise God. Go with me to Romans 10 and verse 10 is where we'll start. We're going to look at three ways that we can examine ourselves tonight. And I want you to think about something. I want you to think about what you're believing for. And I say that with air quotes because are you really believing? I don't know. When you're believing for money, I want you to think about this tonight. You're believing for a turnaround in your situation. I want you to look at these signs. You know, you go to the doctor and you're believing for good health. Well, the examination will tell you if you are or not. Amen. You're believing for your healing. Believing, are you? Is God's flow going towards you or not? Well, let's find out in the Word. Look what it says in Romans 10 and verse 10. It says, with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. With the heart. Now, this is what that means. When you hear the word over and over and over again, and the Bible says faith comes, faith is not found between your ears. Faith is not of the head. Faith is not found in your flesh. Faith with the heart, man believes. Faith is born in your heart. But then notice what it says here. It says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, it's talking about the promise of salvation, but it works for any promise. You first heard about Jesus and salvation, and what happened? Faith rose up in your heart. But you didn't get saved until you opened your mouth and confessed something. Why? With the mouth, confession is made to the promise or the salvation. The confession brings the possession. Yeah. Now, this is what I want to say to you. What are you saying concerning your believing for thing? What do you mean, Pastor Mike? If you're in faith, okay, this is one of the signs, an examination, just like a doctor would say, if your blood pressure is good, it will be between this range. If your weight is right, it'll be between this age for your height and age. If your this is this, there's a sign. Here's a sign of whether or not what you're believing for, if you are in faith or not. Are you ready? Go to Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43. I think that's where I want to go. If not, we'll find it. Matthew 12. Let's go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12:34. See, 43, 34, it's all the same. It's all the same numbers. Look at this now. Look at this principle here in the Word. Where does man believe? Where does belief come from? Your head? No. Does it come from your flesh? No. Where does it come from? Your heart. And then he said, with the heart man believes, with the mouth confession is made. Now look at this. Basically, what he's saying is you can't have it without saying it, because that's how salvation came to you. You believed it and said it. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says we have in them the same spirit of faith or vital sign of faith. We believed, we've spoken. That's what faith is. Believe, speak. That's how you got saved. That's how you're gonna get everything else. What's Mark 11:23 say? For you'll have whatsoever things you hope. You have whatsoever things you want. You have whatsoever things you need. You have whatsoever things you desire. You have whatsoever things you're desperate for. No, you'll have whatsoever things you say. For if you shall believe in your heart and not doubt things that you say, you shall have what you say. Well, so we believe in the heart. Now listen to what the Bible says about the heart. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Now look at this. Out of the abundance of the heart... What's the rule? What's ever big in here is going to come out where? Oh, yeah. So let me ask you. Faith isn't silent either. Just because you're not saying the wrong thing doesn't mean you're in the right place. Just because you're neutral and not even say anything, no. With the mouth, confession is made. Now, when it comes to these signs, let me point this out. When you get into true faith, the signs automatically follow. When you're in true faith, you don't sit around and think, okay, today I have to say the right thing. Today I got to do the next step or the next step. No. When you're in faith, these are natural things that just happen from being in faith. Because why? So you don't have to think about what to say when there's an abundance of the right thing in your heart, because out of the abundance of in here, this is automatically going to talk. It's the truth. And so when you fill up on the Word and get belief in here, you're automatically waking up talking healing, talking deliverance, talking prosperity, talking turnaround. It's not that you have to consciously think, okay, Jesus said I got to say it, so okay, I got to say it, I got to go through my confessions. No, if you're full of faith, it's pouring out of your mouth. Amen. It's just like, you know, Jake, you work for Walkers there, and you work with the, the juice, the grape juice, and filling up the tank. You know, there gets to a point you got to stop pressing the lever, filling the juice up that's coming from the juice in the freezer or the refrigeration system into the tank. You got to stop. Why? Because if it gets too high and you keep going, it's not going to stay inside. It's going to come flowing out. But Jake, if you're pouring in Concord juice into that tank and it fills up and someone forgot to turn the lever off or however it works and it starts to pour out, a different type of grape juice doesn't flow out of that thing. The abundance of what is inside is going to flow outside. If you're not saying anything, there's not an abundance of the right thing. If you're speaking doubt and unbelief, it just shows where your belief is. Amen. See, people can fake and get by with their confessions. But Jesus didn't say on its own merit, you'll have what you say. He said the words that you believe that you say will come to pass. What's he saying? Faith words come to pass, not just words. And a lot of people just say, okay, if I just say my confessions, like God is some robot, and this is, see, a lot of people are robotic with their faith, have to go through the steps because they're really not in faith. I don't think about talking my deliverance, my healing, my prosperity for the church. I don't even think about it. It just flows out of me. Why? Big on the inside. An overflow on the inside. So if you're not speaking it, or if you're speaking the wrong thing, or nothing's coming out of your mouth, it's a sign unto you. You're not in faith. And why do we need to be in faith? No faith, no flow. Amen. Tell me you love me right now. Tell me you love me right now. Tell me. Don't make me twist your arm to make you love me now. I'll do it. I'm not too, you know, I'll just say this. I'll do it. I'll twist your arm to make you love me. I'll do it. Praise God. Number two, go to Romans 4 and verse 20. Romans 4 and verse 20. Praise God. Now this is talking about Abraham. Remember, Abraham was told, you're going to have a son and you're old. And at first Abraham didn't believe. They weren't in faith at all. But in Romans 4, actually, let's go back to verse 18, Kim Lai. Let's look at how much faith he was actually in. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. As a 100-year-old, wife 90, says, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Excuse me, verse 19, being not weak in faith. Consider not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The natural said no way, but God said something different. Welcome to the faith realm. The natural says no, God says something different. You better be okay with looking at things, hearing things, feeling things, experiencing things in this realm that are all up in your face, coming against you, and being able to look them in the face and say, I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what anything. The only thing that has merit to me, what did you say, Lord? And that's where Abraham got. Didn't care what his body looked like. Didn't care what his body felt like. Didn't care what Sarah looked like. Didn't care what her womb said. Didn't care what medical science said. Didn't care what the neighbor said. Didn't care what the history of time said. All he cared about was what God said. That's called faith. I'm only moved by the Word of God. I'm not moved by my checkbook. I'm not moved by symptoms in my body. I'm not moved by outward rumors and talks. I'm only moved by the Word. That's a faith person. And the Bible says that he, being not weak in faith, he considered not all the things the natural would tell you he'd have a baby or not. In verse 20, here it is. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. How? What was the sign that he was strong in faith? The rest of that verse. Amen. Giving glory to God. Now here we go. Number one, if you're not talking it, you're not in faith. Number two, if you're not praising God for it, you're not in faith. Why? Praise is the voice of faith.
Amen. That's right. Glory to God.
Praise is the voice of faith.
That's right.
Amen. If you're not rejoicing that your sickness is leaving your body and healing's coming your way and declaring you're healed, you're not in faith.
Right.
Well, I'll rejoice when it shows up. Yeah, no duh. So will every other unbeliever in the world. Faith people believe you got it now.
Right.
And when you receive, you praise.
Right.
If you're not rejoicing over your finances right now when you can't pay your bills, Father, I thank you, I'm rich. Money's coming, a full supply. If you're not rejoicing about your deliverance and your turnaround, you're not in faith.
Right.
Now remember, how do we get in faith? You got to go back to last week and get more word in you until it's coming out of you. The right faith words and praise will just, I don't have to wake up and say, okay, I know praise is a sign of faith. I just better start praising. Okay, Father, I thank you that I'm healed. No. I wake up, Father, I thank you I'm healed. I wake up, I thank you I'm delivered. I wake up, I thank you I'm prosperous. I think it's working for the church. I just thank you. Why? It's big on the inside. Pastor Mike's taking time day and night, in the Word, in the Word. I'm so big on the inside, when hell shows up, I laugh at hell. Knock, knock, knock. Who's there? Oh, hi, hell. What are you doing? You're messing with the wrong guy. Now, oh my good Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, help me. Those people that respond that way show what's on the inside of them, not faith. That is the truth. The disciples responded on the boat. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Jesus said, where's your faith? It's not here. Yep. Praise God. Remember in Numbers 14? Go to Numbers 14 real quick. Praise God forevermore. Numbers 14, remember God said you can have a promised land? It's amazing. They saw him part the Red Sea. They saw him do all these miracles. And now they get to a land where the people are bigger than them, and they all of a sudden forget how big God is.
Yeah, that's right.
In verse 14, chapter 14 said, chapter 14, verse 1, and all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And the children of Israel murmured or complained against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said, oh, they were saying something. But let's find out what was on the inside, because what's on the inside is coming out your mouth. What if God, why didn't God just let us die in Egypt? Or God let us die in this wilderness? Wherefore has God, verse 3, brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be prey? Was it not better for us to return to Egypt? And they said to one another, let us make a captain return to Egypt. Yeah, let's go back to being slaves. Sounds like a good idea to me. God just took them. He parted a body of water to get them out of slavery. But they're not big on the inside. What's coming out of them? Doubting and unbelieving, whining and moaning, groaning and complaining. Why? That's what's on the inside. That's what's big on the inside. Go to Acts 16. Praise God. Acts chapter 16. Let's just, for time's sake, go to verse 25. Remember, Paul had a vision. If you don't remember, I'm going to tell you. Paul had a vision. Go to Macedonia. He goes to Macedonia. Remember, he meets a woman, or he's preaching, and this woman is controlled by the devil, and she's telling fortunes. And so there's a couple people here, I'm assuming that they're the guys, that they're taking control of her and using her to tell fortunes to get money from her. Well, Paul cast that devil out of her. She can no longer tell fortunes anymore. That made her masters mad. And the Bible says that Paul and Silas got the snot kicked out of them, stripped and thrown in prison, beaten and thrown in the jail cell, the inner jail, which is the worst part of those Roman prisons. And it says in verse 25, and at midnight. Well, I'll tell you what. When you get beat upon, you know, I found the thing out. You go try this at home if you don't believe me. Take a sponge, fill up a bucket or a glass of milk, dump that sponge in that milk, set that sponge on the table, and press on that sponge. I promise you, grape Kool-Aid is not coming out. When you get pressed upon, what's on the inside of you is what's going to come out of you. While Paul's being pressed upon, what comes out of Paul? And at midnight, Paul and Silas groped and griped and groaned and moaned and complained and said, why me? How could this happen to me? I don't understand, God. What's going on? How could this happen? Is it ever going to change? I can't believe I'm going through this. No, those are words of doubters and unbelievers. They are. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. Why? They're in faith, and praise is the voice of faith. Father, thank you for delivering me. You're greater than these chains. Father, thank you for my turnaround. Things are changing for me. Woo-wee. It's not that praise has power in praise. It's what flows through your praise. Because praise is faith, and God flows through faith. It's not like when you praise, that's why when the children of Israel shouted at the wall and rejoiced and the wall came down, it wasn't because their voice had some makeup in it that can cause walls to fall down. It was a pipeline of faith that God flowed His power through. That's why God's so pleased when we praise. Praise God. And I'm just here to tell you, if you're not in joy, actually go to Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Oh, we're just going to poke the bear a little bit with this one here. Yeah. Romans 15, 13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in what? What's believing? Believing's faith. If you're not in joy, if you're not in peace, you're not in faith. True faith is in joy, is in peace, is in praise, is speaking the right things. And I'm here to tell you, if your peace is troubled, you need to go back to Romans 10:17. Get bigger on the inside. Get more faith. Because the side effect of faith is joy. Side effect of faith is peace. Side effect of faith is praise coming out of your lips. Side effect of faith is the right words coming out of your mouth. Amen. I'll tell you what are we doing? Sometimes you go to the doctor and you get an examination and you don't like what you find out, but thank God he pointed out the things that were wrong, or she pointed out the things that were wrong, because then you can go home and fix them. You can go home and make adjustments. I mean, you went there hoping it was all good. You came to church tonight hoping, man, I hope everything's good, but maybe you're learning tonight, well, there's stuff coming out. Yeah. It's not what he's saying. Yeah. Good. Oh. Pastor Mike's laying there all snuggled up, all sweet. My eyes open. The first thing I do is lift my hands. It just comes out of me. I don't have the brain awareness when I first wake up to think, okay, this is what I do. It just comes out of me. Why? Because it's so much in me. And as soon as my body comes back to be, it just starts flowing out of me. I wake up, my hands go up in the air. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, you're working. You're moving. You're turning things around. Things are changing. Money's coming. All those things. I don't sit there and think, okay, when I wake up in the morning, this. No. If you're going through the motions like that, it's because you're not in faith. You get in faith to start talking different. Start praising different. Praise God. Last but not least, go to James 2:17. So number one, you'll be talking the right way. James chapter 2 and verse 17, you'll be praising. The voice of faith is praise. Abraham, the Bible said he was strong in faith. I know he's strong in faith because he's praising me. Because praise is a sign you're in faith. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. Listen to what the NIV says. In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by an action. When it says faith without works, faith without action, faith without deeds, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. Now, faith is what? An expectation. Right? Faith's an expectation. You're believing God for something. Now, part of the works that will come naturally from believing God for something is the work of speaking, the work of praising. Those will be things you can point to and look at and say, there's really faith. Faith's really there. But what action, what deed do you have? Because naturally, you ready for this? Naturally, when you believe something's coming or you expect for something, you do things. What am I talking about? What about when you get pregnant? Yeah. And they tell you there's a baby in there. I mean, you, in the beginning, you can't see it. I mean, and it's still not going to be for 9 months. 9 months! But what do? Because you expect that baby to come in 9 months. What do? You start buying things. You start painting a nursery. You start daydreaming. You're talking to it. You're singing to the baby. You're changing your diet. Maybe you're taking some medication that they put mom, whatever. You're doing something. Because you expect it to come, you're doing something in the natural. What about if you plan for a vacation for a year from now and you're going somewhere? Don't you look at pictures online of that place? Don't you get your tickets? Don't you maybe get a bathing suit? Don't you maybe start talking about what you're going to do because you expect it to come? Well, if you're in expectation of that which you are believing for, where's the proof? What can somebody look at and say, oh, they're in full faith? Can I tell you a good story? One of my pastor friends from Canada, he had a fellow minister friend of his, a fellow pastor of his. I don't know his friend, but my friend is friends with the one that told the story. The friend of my friend had a minister in from Kenya. And the Kenyan minister told him this story. This was a Kenyan pastor. And he's from just the real rural parts of Kenya, you know, out in the sticks, no money, not a lot of stuff out there. But this pastor got a hold of Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland's stuff on faith and got so built up in faith that he started bringing the faith message back to his church in Kenya. Well, his church was growing and growing and growing, and he was starting to get to the place where, you know, I wouldn't need, with my big mouth, a microphone tonight with this many people. But if we started to get hundreds and hundreds back, you know, it would be hard for me to project my voice so that people in the front could hear it just as much as the people in the back. Well, that was happening to him. He needed a sound system. Well, he got the faith message on the inside of him, and he got this verse on the inside of him, faith without works is dead. So he realized, if I really believed that God was going to bless us with a sound system, no money to buy, I mean, there are nothing. They come from nothing. He didn't have shoes when he started. He said there'd be some works with it. So this Kenyan pastor took some scissors in a cardboard box and started cutting it up. And he drew little buttons on it and made little speakers out of cardboard. And he took a piece of wood and he carved it into a microphone. And he took some tape and he taped a rope to the end of that piece of wood. And he took the other end of the rope and he taped it to his speakers and his sound system. And he stood up in church the next Sunday. He said, we got our sound system. Glory to God, a sound system. We got a sound system. He was calling those things, Romans 4, which be not as though they were. He said, this is our sound system. God's going to do better, but we got a sound system. For 1 year, he preached out of that thing. No sound magnification. Held the thing. The wooden thing with a duct taped rope. And every service stood up. Our sound system. We got a sound system. Well, doesn't the Bible say in Romans 4:17 that faith calls those things which be not as though they are? You sick people all start saying, I'm healed. You broke people start saying, I'm prosperous. I'm delivered. I'm free. Things are turning. I'm a husband. I'm a wife. I'm a mama. I'm a daddy. Start calling. Start calling. Amen. Yeah. God called Abraham. He said, Abram, I don't like that name. I'm changing you to Abraham, which means father of many nations, that I have made you. Not I'm going to when the baby shows up. I've made you right now. Why? God calls things which be not as though they are. We got our sound system. 1 year. People let go of the promise when they don't see turnaround in a week. So you're not in faith. One of the things you'll find that when you're in true faith, time in the calendar don't matter anymore. You already got it. Got our sound system, preaching his message. People in the congregation snickering at him, you know. He's crazy. Crazy until. People say all the time, Pastor Mike, you're so crazy. Yeah, I know. But let me tell you some of the testimonies that I have in my life from being crazy. I'm talking about money and healings and deliverances and supernatural things coming that only faith could produce. So yeah, I'm crazy, but I'm happy being crazy. All of a sudden, they don't have vehicles where they're at in this place in Kenya. No cars. And a black SUV pulls up one day during service. And a businessman from Nairobi gets out. And he says, where's the pastor? They are shocked. What's this vehicle? They don't see vehicles. He said, God spoke to me and told me to buy you a brand new sound system. Amen. He opens up the back of the SUV, and there's a brand new sound system with speakers and everything. Amen. He was crazy until it manifested in sight. See, he already believed it manifested in his heart, but now it manifested in sight. He's not crazy anymore. So then he thinks, you know what? Life would be a lot easier if we had vehicles around here. Life would be a lot easier. Let me tell you something. God has enough to go around and around and around and around and around and around and around. This isn't one of those, well, you can have that toy, Caleb and Abby, but if you pick that toy, you're not going to get that one. No. There's enough to go around for every single thing you desire, want, and need. It's the truth. He says, it sure would be nice to have vehicles around here. So he starts to say, to his congregation, and the ones that are snickering at him now aren't snickering so much at him anymore. Ooh, maybe he's up to something. And he starts to say, thank you, Lord, for my car. I got a car. And he said, well, you want to get on board? So the congregation members start saying, we all have cars. And he thought to himself, if we have cars, we got to have a place to put them. Took a bucket of yellow paint, went out to the dirt, and made a parking lot, drew strips of parking spaces. There's our parking lot full of cars. Amen. Yeah, that's faith with works. And guess what happened? They all, not some, all of them now are prospering and have vehicles. Amen. See, people think, oh, these poor people and such and such. Jesus said, I've come to preach the gospel to the poor. The gospel, just like it changes the brokenhearted in that verse, just like it changes the captives in that verse, just like it changes the sick in that verse, it changed all the bad conditions in that verse to better. One of the bad conditions of that verse is poor. The gospel will change the poor from being poor to not poor. Doesn't matter what part of the world it's in. Doesn't matter if it's a dollar bill or what currency it is. God's not limited by the dollar bill. And they all have cars now. Why? Faith. Amen. God decided to move to people that actually believed him. Praise Amen. God. What can we look at and say, yeah, you believe it. Do your words show it? Does your praise show it? Is there something that you can say, yeah, I'm believing for that, you know? If not, you're not in faith. Praise God. And what was tonight? An examination, a faith examination, right? So I encourage you, if you've realized tonight that, hey, I'm not there, your answer is found in Romans 10:17. Your answer is found in Joshua 1:8. Your answer is found in Romans 10:17, and your answer is found in Joshua 1:8. Hearing. Some people aren't getting this. That's why I'm saying over and over again. Some people just keep spinning their wheels the same thing. You got to get this. If you're not in these places that I said tonight, these three places, you got to go back to Romans 10:17 and hear it and hear it and hear it until speaking becomes automatic, praising becomes automatic, and you just, well, I expect a baby. The automatic thing to do would expect the baby is go buy baby clothes. Amen. I'm going on a trip. The thing to do is start preparing for the trip. Amen. That's what faith will do. Praise God. What an exciting life it is. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word tonight. Lord, you're good. I said, Lord, you're good. Praise God. We praise you tonight. Lord, you helped us. You helped us. An examination. It might not have been the funnest trip to the spiritual doctor, but it's a helpful one. It's one that'll change us and save us, because we've seen clearly, Father, in the last 2 weeks, it's faith that gets you to move. It's faith that brings you on the scene. We can't afford to not be in faith. So we better know what faith is and what it looks like, and if there's signs to faith, then we better make sure they're operating in our lives. And if they're not, we better get into faith real fast. Real fast. It depends. Your mercy. the turnaround, the deliverance, the healing, the prosperity, the abundance, the health for your children, the blessings for your kids. Everything depends on faith. That's where you flow. Father, I just thank you so much for your goodness and your mercy tonight. Father, as I look around this room, Lord, I see your precious creation. With heads bowed and eyes closed, everybody ask yourself this question. If tonight were my last night on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If my life ended tonight, would I go to heaven? When I ask myself that question, without a shadow of a doubt, I know I'd go to heaven. Because I did what the Bible said to do. I followed Jesus' instructions. Now, if you're here and you can say, Pastor Mike, I don't know for sure if I'd go to heaven. I want to. I don't know. I don't want you to leave here unsure. There's no reason to leave here unsure. I won't embarrass you. I won't have you stand up, come forward, say anything on your own. But if you're here tonight and you could say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but my next question would be, do you believe in Jesus? And if you could say in your heart, I do believe in him. I don't understand everything about it, and it doesn't make sense to my mind, but in my heart of hearts, I believe in Jesus. Well, if you can say I believe in Jesus, then you're qualified to go to heaven. You just have to receive, believe and receive him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, if you're here tonight and you want to receive Jesus for the very first time, don't leave here till you make this decision for Jesus. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. Is there anybody all that wants to receive Jesus before we close down tonight? Lift your hand high in the air. All you're saying is, I want to go to heaven. Don't let this moment pass you by. I won't call you forward. Anybody want to receive Jesus before we close the service? Lift your hand high in the air. Anybody? Father, I don't see any hands in the building, so I trust that we're all born again walking with you. But if by chance someone in here or listening by line right now or in the future via the archives, I pray they would not pass from this life till they make Jesus the Lord of their life. And Father, I thank you that you've made salvation easy. Lord, you've made receiving healing easy. You've made receiving anything we need easy. We'll just cooperate with you and get into faith. Hallelujah. We praise you tonight. Let's just stand to our feet and give him glory before we close down. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Bruce, God wants to heal that pain in your body. Come forward. He wants to heal that pain in your body. The Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Praise God. We've seen so many testimonies. Mark chapter 16 says, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You believe in the power of God?
Amen.
Amen. Well, I don't have any power, but the Bible says when I lay hands on you, his power is going to go through me and into you, and he's the healer. So, Father, we thank you right now. In the name of Jesus, we command this body to be made whole from head to toe. Thank you, Father, that the power of God is flowing in him for a cure. And, Father, we thank you it'll never be the same. Things change from tonight. Sickness can't stay. Disease can't stay. Pain can't stay. Healing must come in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father. We give you the glory tonight. We praise you. We glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said,
amen.
You're dismissed. We'll see you Saturday. Dismissed.